Hallelujah. Amen. And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So as once again, we consider Jesus, our good shepherd, these words remind us that it is not such a bad life being one of his sheep. In fact, that's why the 23rd Psalm remains such a perennial favorite, right? It confesses, and we confess with it, that the Lord, Yahweh, Jesus, shepherds us. He shepherds us as sheep, and what? Well, we lack nothing that we really need. We are led to good pasture. We are given safe waters to drink from. Our souls are restored as we are being led in the right way. We are guided and guarded. Even when we pass through the dark valley, we find a table has been prepared before us. We are anointed as very kings and priests to our God. Our cups overflow. Goodness and love are always with us. And our eternal dwelling is in God's own house. It is not such a bad life being one of Jesus' sheep. And all this is because Jesus died. He laid down his life for us. He died the death that we owed as condemned sinners. And as the innocent sacrifice without blemish, he atoned for us so that our sin is no longer seen. He is our shepherd, we his sheep, because he died and because he is raised, never to die again. After all, a dead shepherd can't continue to help his sheep, but a living shepherd who will never die, that's another thing entirely. Because Jesus died and lives, he's able to shepherd us through death to life. He knows the way. He has traveled in himself in our own flesh as one of us. And to receive all that he's come to give us, all we need to do is hear his voice. That is the signal aspect of being one of his sheep, that you hear his voice, that you recognize his voice, that you hearken to his voice, and then follow. And not because you have to, lest trouble come upon you. His sheep, you, me, we listen because he is good. We follow because he is the one who brings us the good. Now, people who raise sheep will tell you that while sheep are a bit dim, they are not dumb. They learn, they know, they remember those who protect them, those who feed them, who care for them, those who guide them to what is good, who speak to them with love and affection. They recognize the voices of those people, and the sheep will come when they hear them. Sometimes they come even before they're called. The sheep come not because they fear punishment and judgment. They listen, they come because they have learned to expect the good things from those who treat them well. On the other hand, sheep will shy away from strangers. No matter how gently the stranger may speak, the sheep do not know them. So as his sheep, we learn to hear Jesus' voice as the voice of the one who gives us the good that we need. And by instinct, we learn to go where we hear him. Now, because of our old nature, there's still something deep in us that tries to find the good where Jesus is not, or at least what we think would be good. Maybe one seeks after money, thinking that's going to bring security and satisfaction. Another might seek after power, political, social, or otherwise, thinking that that's going to get her or him exactly what is wanted or good. Others will seek achievement for its own sake, thinking that if they're the best at something, that's going to secure them what's good. Others want success. And you know the rest of the list here. It goes on and on. But when we seek the good, apart from the call of the good shepherd, apart from his voice, we fall into all manner of sin, right? We find ourselves led by lust or gluttony, by pride or sloth, and so on. Rather than going where we hear his voice, we often go elsewhere. And so we fail to follow and fail to receive the good that he has for us. So let us repent of that. Hear his voice, my friends. Recognize the good that he has for you, the good which only he who died and behold he lives can give. Hearken to his voice and follow. For he gives eternal life. And while we've gone into this before, it bears repetition. Eternal life is not simply a biological process going on forever and ever. Rather, it is a particular kind of life. It is the life of eternity. It is God's own life. It is a life of good, a life of grace, life, light, love. It is a life of goodness and peace and patience. To have eternal life is to share God's own life in Christ. And we have this life in Christ because death could not hold on to him. He is our shepherd, filled with life to share with us. So let us hear him and follow and receive that life even now. He promises eternal life to his sheep, and then he says, they will not perish, ever. And the word for perish here is the same one that we know from that famous verse, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In this sense, perish means not simply to experience physical death, but is also to face eternal judgment. It is to be lost to death and hell forever. So when Jesus promises that his sheep will not perish ever, that is a glorious thing. And think of the weight that death has, along with fear of judgment. Think of the heartache, depression, anger even, that surrounds death and surrounds our culture's common ideas about what the final judgment's going to be like. All these turn life into kind of an uncertain mess. And not just with respect to the deaths of others. Yes, losing others is hard enough. But then there's our own death to consider. Many folks in the face of personal death are filled with fear, despair, resignation. Some even seek to hasten that death because they just want to get it over with. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has come and has risen and lives now so that his sheep do not perish. They have passed with him from death to life. For them, there is now no more condemnation. Sharing his life, Jesus' sheep cannot be held by death. They cannot be lost to judgment. Hell cannot have them. Even if for a time they must sleep in the grave, we know that there is a final dawn coming at Jesus' glorious return. When the dead will hear his voice and rise to live with him forever, his sheep will hear his voice and they will follow. He gives eternal life. His sheep will not perish, and no one can snatch them from his hand. Now, the image here is of the predator, of the rustler, of those who would take the sheep and kill them. But Jesus, having triumphed over death and hell, God in the flesh, Jesus, he will not let his own be taken from him. He jealously guards you, his beloved. This verse is not about the eternal security of the elect, you know, once saved, always saved, as it is sometimes used. No, this is the glorious promise that the shepherd who loves you will guard you and keep you no matter what. No power of the enemy or of the world can steal you away from him. Not the devil's lies or temptations, not the world's threats or persecutions, not death's cold veil. None of them will ever separate you from Christ. His hold on you is stronger than any other power. Hallelujah. Now, this is not to say that you can't stray. Nothing will snatch you from Jesus, but if on your own you drift off, there's no promise that you can't ever get lost. Now, Jesus is going to make every effort to pursue you. He will call you. He will pull you back. But if you insist, in spite of it all, to ignore him, he will not fight you forever. So listen to him and follow. Receive the good, for this is the Father's will for you, that you live and receive life from the eternal Son, your Savior and Shepherd. Hear him and follow. Share in the goodness of his life, for Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.